This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
There's so many questions here to this. Another question about possible bite marks. Earlier in the trial, the prosecution brought up some witnesses that said, we don't believe this is dog, but there is pig DNA there, which, well, you know, dogs eat a lot of food. Then I guess one could say, well, maybe it's in the teeth of the dog, but why is there no dog DNA there then? And the pig DNA is showing up. I don't know. It's very bizarre. Dr. Russell was also on the stand this week talking about bite marks versus scratch marks on John's arm. This is testimony that was given not to the jury, while they were still determining whether or not this would be admitted. Let's take a look.
Based on your review of all of those materials, were you able to confidently come to any conclusions or opinions about the nature of the injuries suffered by John O'Keefe, specifically as they relate to John O'Keefe's right arm?
Yes.
What is your opinion and conclusion concerning those injuries?
Those injuries appear to be consistent with an animal attack.
Can you be more specific in terms of the type of animal, or are you relegated to simply an animal attack?
Well, they are consistent with a large dog attack. There's a combination of both what I consider bite wounds and scratch wounds on the arm. There were also some puncture wounds in that shirt.
And are the
I'm sorry, puncture wounds in the shirt?
Puncture holes in the shirt.
And on what do you base the opinion that the injuries are consistent with dog bite or scratch marks?
Well, the patterns. There are several patterns of parallel wounds that appear to be superficial scratches that could have been caused by nails or could have been caused by teeth. There are different angles on the arm and different locations on the arm. But they're generally oriented in a specific direction. And there's also an area, the distal forearm, which is close to the wrist, which shows what I believe is an arch area of teeth marks.
And what's the significance of the arch area?
Well, so the arch would be the front area of the jaw of the animal, you know, or the dog in this case, where the teeth are tend to be close together and curved. There's a curved pattern to the configuration of the teeth.
So clearly we know John O'Keefe did not die by a dog attack, but we're trying to somehow work this in here because there is some evidence of something that happened. I know it plays somewhat to their conspiracy that he was beat up in the house and the dog attacked him and all this. What do you make of all that?
So the trooper was clearly not very comfortable with his testimony. Mm-hmm. You know, so that he had a lot of stress indicators and he, again, was redefining things, like, you know, thrown through the air, projected and all those things. So he was off. And then she brings up great points, you know, a great hypothesis for, you know, a dog attack. Mm-hmm. Again, I think it just reiterates, you know, the challenges of this and bad drunken recollections. And I think one reason why there's such a pushback against from the prosecution about this, about, you know, him getting beat up in the house, was if you look at the relationships. So let's go back out 50,000 feet. And if we just heard some of these and witnessed and read some of these text messages going back and forth between John O'Keefe and Karen and everyone else involved in this couple days together, what we're seeing is a group of friends around John that like him and care for him, and that she is part of John's life, but might maybe not really liked by the entire group, as we're kind of seeing here. And so the thought process from this group of people that are rallying around John that they would do something against John is important to them.
Doesn't make sense.
It doesn't, and it doesn't make sense. So that's why that's why the reverse defense about a conspiracy theory about, you know, John's death and them getting beat up or something like that, that doesn't hold water for me either. When you're looking at the dynamic of the relationships that are here, I think what we have here, again, is a group of very, very unhealthy, toxic behaviors that manifested in a tragic death of everyone involved. Mm-hmm. And I think the charges are off. I think the defense is off. I think the defense is great, but I think their counterclaim that this was a conspiracy by people that killed him in that house or had a fight with him and threw him out the door, whatever they're thinking, that's off too.
If there's any conspiracy, I think it may be they tried to weight the scales a little bit against Karen Reed. Not because they did it, but they really wanted to make sure that she face charges for what took place. That's the only thing that makes sense. Not at all acceptable behavior by any stretch of the imagination. But when you start introducing those questions like that, and you start introducing behavior where you're going to try and tip the scales, that puts everything into question.
So let's play this in a mind of, you know, where we'll do some from really, really close empathy here. In other words, we'll try to be in the minds of John's friends. Mm-hmm. So here you are, you wake up in the morning or in the afternoon, whenever they find out, you know, John's dead, and you get you hear that, you know, hey, she said this, may have said this, and you are now super angry and upset that your good friend is dead. Mm-hmm. Dead in a very tragic, horrible way. And dang it, if it wasn't for her, she'd still be alive. So that's probably going through their mind. It's her fault that he died. No matter what role she actively played, in their mind, they're thinking it's her fault. Had she not been in his life, he wouldn't be dead. And so now you have this emotional surge and impulse of revenge, of let's get her, not because of a conspiracy, but because you lost your friend and you're blaming her and the relationship she had with him on his death. So that's where my mind goes and kind of seeing the totality of all the relationships here. Yeah. That's what started, I think, this ball rolling of a confirmation bias that they had of trying to only see. And again, they weren't trying to see it. They were only seeing things that would incriminate her. And when you have those people that are in charge of the investigation with that kind of emotion involved, where you're blaming her for his death, you get this.
Yeah. I think very, very well put. And I think that's exactly what we're looking at. We'll see what the jury decides once it finally does get to them.
Yeah, and great job by defense. I mean, really, really great job. Really great points they're bringing up.
I agree. We'll see how this continues on.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.